the 10th chapter. To despise the world and serve God is sweet. The disciple. Now again I will speak, Lord, and will not be silent. I will speak to the hearing of my God, my Lord, and my King who is in heaven. How great, O Lord, is the multitude of your mercies, which you have stored up for those who love you. But what are you to those who love you? What are you to those who serve you with their whole heart? Truly beyond the power of words is the sweetness of contemplation you give to those who love you. To me you have shown the sweetness of your charity, especially in having made me when I did not exist, in having brought me back to serve you, when I had gone far astray from you, in having commanded me to love you. O fountain of unceasing love, what shall I say of you? How can I forget you, who have been pleased to remember me even after I had wasted away and perished? You have shown mercy to your servant beyond all hope, and have exhibited grace and friendship beyond his deserving. What return shall I make to you for this grace? For it is not given every man to forsake all things, to renounce the world, and undertake the religious life. Is it anything great that I should serve you, whom every creature is bound to serve? It should not seem much to me, instead it should appear great and wonderful, that you condescend to receive into your service one, who is so poor and unworthy. Behold, all things are yours, even those which I have and by which I serve you. Behold, heaven and earth which you created for the service of man, stand ready, and each day they do whatever you command. But even this is little, for you have appointed angels also to minister to man, yea more than all this, you yourself have condescended to serve man, and have promised to give him yourself. What return shall I make for all these thousands of benefits? Would that I could serve you all the days of my life. Would that for but one day I could serve you earthly. Truly you are worthy of all service, all honor, and everlasting praise. Truly you are my Lord, and I am your poor servant, bound to serve you with all my powers, praising you without ever becoming weary. I wish to do this, this is my desire. Do you supply whatever is wanting in me? It is a great honor, a great glory to serve you and to despise all things for your sake. They who give themselves gladly to your most holy service will possess great grace. They who cast aside all carnal delights for your love will find the most sweet consolation of the Holy Ghost. They who enter upon the narrow way for your name, and cast aside all worldly care will attain great freedom of mind. O sweet and joyful service of God, which makes man truly free and holy! O sacred state of religious bondage which makes man equal to the angels, pleasing to God, terrible to the demons, and worthy of the commendation of all the faithful! O service to be embraced and always desired, in which the highest good is offered, and joy is one which shall remain forever! The 11th chapter. The longings of our hearts must be examined and moderated. The voice of Christ. My child, it is necessary for you to learn many things, which you have not yet learned well. The disciple. What are they, Lord? The voice of Christ. That you conform your desires entirely according to my good pleasure, and be not a lover of self but an earnest doer of my will. Desires very often inflame you and drive you madly on, but consider whether you act for my honor, or for your own advantage. If I am the cause, you will be well content with whatever I ordain. If, on the other hand, any self-seeking lurk in you, it troubles you and weighs you down. Take care, then, that you do not rely too much on preconceived desire, that has no reference to me, lest you repent later on and be displeased with what at first pleased you and which you desired as being for the best. Not every desire which seems good should be followed immediately, nor, on the other hand, should every contrary affection be at once rejected. It is sometimes well to use a little restraint even in good desires and inclinations, lest through too much eagerness you bring upon yourself distraction of mind, lest through your lack of discipline you create scandal for others, or lest you be suddenly upset and fall, because of resistance from others. Sometimes, however, you must use violence and resist your sensual appetite bravely. You must pay no attention to what the flesh does or does not desire, taking pains that it be subjected, even by force, to the spirit. And it should be chastised, and forced to remain in subjection until it is prepared for anything, and is taught to be satisfied with little, to take pleasure in simple things, and not to murmur against inconveniences. The 12th chapter. Acquiring patience in the fight against concupiscence. The disciple. Patience, O Lord God, is very necessary for me, I see, because there are many adversities in this life. No matter what plans I make for my own peace, my life cannot be free from struggle and sorrow. The voice of Christ. My child, you are right, yet my wish is not that you seek that peace, which is free from temptations or meets with no opposition, but rather that you consider yourself as having found peace, when you have been tormented with many tribulations, and tried with many adversities. If you say that you cannot suffer much, how will you endure the fire of purgatory? Of two evils, the lesser is always to be chosen. Therefore, in order that you may escape the everlasting punishments to come, try to bear present evils patiently for the sake of God. Do you think that men of the world have no suffering, or perhaps but little? Ask even those who enjoy the most delights and you will learn otherwise. But, you will say, they enjoy many pleasures and follow their own wishes, therefore they do not feel their troubles very much. Granted that they do have whatever they wish, how long do you think it will last? Behold, they who prosper in the world shall perish as smoke, and there shall be no memory of their past joys. Even in this life they do not find rest in these pleasures without bitterness, weariness, and fear. For they often receive the penalty of sorrow from the very thing whence they believe their happiness comes. And it is just. Since they seek and follow after pleasures without reason, they should not enjoy them without shame and bitterness. How brief, how false, how unreasonable and shameful all these pleasures are! Yet in their drunken blindness men do not understand this, but like brute beasts incur death of soul for the miserly enjoyment of a corruptible life. Therefore, my child, do not pursue your lusts, but turn away from your own will. Seek thy pleasure in the Lord and he will give thee thy heart's desires. If you wish to be truly delighted and more abundantly comforted by me, behold, in contempt of all worldly things and in the cutting off of all base pleasures shall your blessing be, and great consolation shall be given you. Further, the more you withdraw yourself from any solace of creatures, the sweeter and stronger comfort will you find in me. At first you will not gain these blessings without sadness and toil and conflict. Habit already formed will resist you, but it shall be overcome by a better habit. The flesh will murmur against you, but it will be bridled by fervor of spirit. The old serpent will sting and trouble you, but prayer will put him to flight and by steadfast, useful toil the way will be closed to him. The 13th chapter. The obedience of one humbly subject to the example of Jesus Christ. The voice of Christ. My child, he who attempts to escape obeying withdraws himself from grace. Likewise he who seeks private benefits for himself loses those which are common to all. He who does not submit himself freely and willingly to his superior, shows that his flesh is not yet perfectly obedient but that it often rebels and murmurs against him. Learn quickly, then, to submit yourself to your superior, if you wish to conquer your own flesh. For the exterior enemy is more quickly overcome if the inner man is not laid waste. There is no more troublesome, no worse enemy of the soul than you yourself, if you are not in harmony with the spirit. It is absolutely necessary that you conceive a true contempt for yourself, if you wish to be victorious over flesh and blood. Because you still love yourself too inordinately, you are afraid to resign yourself wholly to the will of others. Is it such a great matter if you, who are but dust and nothingness, subject yourself to man for the sake of God, when I, the all-powerful, the Most High, who created all things out of nothing, humbly subjected myself to man for your sake? I became the most humble and the lowest of all men, that you might overcome your pride with my humility. Learn to obey, you who are but dust. Learn to humble yourself, you who are but earth and clay, and bow down under the foot of every man. Learn to break your own will, to submit to all subjection. Be zealous against yourself. Allow no pride to dwell in you, but prove yourself so humble and lowly that all may walk over you, and trample upon you as dust in the streets. What have you, vain man, to complain of? What answer can you make, vile sinner, to those who accuse you, you who have so often offended God and so many times deserved hell? But my eye has spared you, because your soul was precious in my sight, so that you might know my love and always be thankful for my benefits, so that you might give yourself continually to true subjection and humility, and might patiently endure contempt. The 14th chapter. Consider the hidden judgments of God, lest you become proud of your own good deeds. The disciple. You thunder forth your judgments over me, Lord. You shake all my bones with fear and trembling, and my soul is very much afraid. I stand in awe, as I consider that the heavens are not pure in your sight. If you found wickedness in the angels and did not spare them, what will become of me? Stars have fallen from heaven, and I who am but dust, how can I be presumptuous? They whose deeds seemed worthy of praise have fallen into the depths, and I have seen those who ate the bread of angels delighting themselves with the husks of swine. There is no holiness, then, if you withdraw your hand, Lord. There is no wisdom if you cease to guide, no courage if you cease to defend. No chastity is secure if you do not guard it. Our vigilance avails nothing if your holy watchfulness does not protect us. Left to ourselves we sink and perish, but visited by you we are lifted up and live. We are truly unstable, but you make us strong. We grow lukewarm, but you inflame us. Oh, how humbly and lowly should I consider myself! How very little should I esteem anything that seems good in me! How profoundly should I submit to your unfathomable judgments, Lord, where I find myself to be but nothing! O immeasurable weight! O impassable sea, where I find myself to be nothing but bare nothingness! Where, then, is glory's hiding place? Where can there be any trust in my own virtue? All vainglory is swallowed up in the depths of your judgments upon me. What is all flesh in your sight? Shall the clay glory against him that formed it? How can he whose heart is truly subject to God be lifted up by vainglory? The whole world will not make him proud whom truth has subjected to itself. Nor shall he who has placed all his hope in God be moved by the tongues of flatterers. For behold, even they who speak are nothing, they will pass away with the sound of their words, but the truth of the Lord remains forever. The 15th chapter. How one should feel and speak on every desirable thing. The voice of Christ. My child, this is the way you must speak on every occasion, Lord, if it be pleasing to you, so be it. If it be to your honor, Lord, be it done in your name. Lord, if you see that it is expedient and profitable for me, then grant that I may use it to your honor. But if you know that it will be harmful to me, and of no good benefit to the welfare of my soul, then take this desire away from me. Not every desire is from the Holy Spirit, even though it may seem right and good. It is difficult to be certain whether it is a good spirit or a bad one that prompts one to this or that, and even to know whether you are being moved by your own spirit. many who seemed at first to be led by a good spirit have been deceived in the end. Whatever the mind sees as good, ask and desire in fear of God and humility of heart. Above all, commit the whole matter to me with true resignation, and say, Lord, you know what is better for me, let this be done or that be done as you please. Grant what you will, as much as you will, when you will. Do with me as you know best, as will most please you, and will be for your greater honor. Place me where you will and deal with me freely in all things. I am in your hand, turn me about whichever way you will. Behold, I am your servant, ready to obey in all things. Not for myself do I desire to live, but for you, would that I could do this worthily and perfectly. A prayer, that the will of God be done. Grant me your grace, O most merciful Jesus, that it may be with me, and work with me, and remain with me to the very end. Grant, that I may always desire and will, that which is most acceptable and pleasing to you. Let your will be mine. Let my will always follow yours and agree perfectly with it. Let my will be one with yours in willing and in not willing, and let me be unable to will or not will anything, but what you will or do not will. Grant, that I may die to all things in this world, and for your sake love to be despised and unknown in this life. Give me above all desires the desire to rest in you, and in you let my heart have peace. You are true peace of heart. You alone are its rest. Without you all things are difficult and troubled. In this peace, the self-same that is in you, the Most High, the everlasting good, I will sleep and take my rest. Amen. The 16th chapter. True comfort is to be sought in God alone. The disciple. Whatever I can desire or imagine for my own comfort I look for not here but hereafter. For if I alone should have all the world's comforts, and could enjoy all its delights, it is certain that they could not long endure. Therefore, my soul, you cannot enjoy full consolation or perfect delight except in God, the consoler of the poor and the helper of the humble. Wait a little, my soul, wait for the divine promise and you will have an abundance of all good things in heaven. If you desire these present things too much, you will lose those which are everlasting and heavenly. Use temporal things but desire eternal things. You cannot be satisfied with any temporal goods, because you were not created to enjoy them. Even if you possessed all created things you could not be happy and blessed, for in God, who created all these things, your whole blessedness and happiness consists, not indeed such happiness, as is seen and praised by lovers of the world, but such as that for which the good and faithful servants of Christ wait, and of which the spiritual and pure of heart, whose conversation is in heaven, sometime have a foretaste. Vain and brief is all human consolation. But that which is received inwardly from the truth is blessed and true. The devout man carries his consoler, Jesus, everywhere with him, and he says to him, Be with me, Lord Jesus, in every place and at all times. Let this be my consolation, to be willing to forego all human comforting. And if your consolation be wanting to me, let your will and just trial of me be my greatest comfort. For you will not always be angry, nor will you threaten forever. The 17th chapter. All our care is to be placed in God. The voice of Christ. My child, allow me to do what I will with you. I know what is best for you. You think as a man, you feel in many things as human affection persuades. The disciple. Lord, what you say is true. Your care for me is greater than all the care I can take of myself. For he who does not cast all his care upon you stands very unsafely. If only my will remain right and firm toward you, Lord, do with me whatever pleases you. For whatever you shall do with me can only be good. If you wish me to be in darkness, I shall bless you. And if you wish me to be in light, again I shall bless you. if you stoop down to comfort me, I shall bless you, and if you wish me to be afflicted, I shall bless you forever. The voice of Christ. My child, this is the disposition which you should have if you wish to walk with me. You should be as ready to suffer as to enjoy. You should as willingly be destitute and poor as rich and satisfied. The disciple. O Lord, I shall suffer willingly for your sake, whatever you wish to send me. I am ready to accept from your hand both good and evil alike, the sweet and the bitter together, sorrow with joy, and for all that happens to me I am grateful. Keep me from all sin and I will fear neither death nor hell. Do not cast me out forever, nor blot me out of the book of life, and whatever tribulation befalls will not harm me. The 18th chapter. Temporal sufferings should be borne patiently, after the example of Christ. The voice of Christ. My child, I came down from heaven for your salvation, and took upon myself your miseries, not out of necessity but out of love, that you might learn to be patient, and bear the sufferings of this life without repining. From the moment of my birth to my death on the cross, suffering did not leave me. I suffered great want of temporal goods. Often I heard many complaints against me, disgrace, and reveling I bore with patience. For my blessings I received ingratitude, for my miracles blasphemies, and for my teaching scorn. The disciple. O Lord, because you were patient in life, especially in fulfilling the design of the Father, it is fitting that I, a most miserable sinner, should live patiently according to your will, and, as long as you shall wish, bear the burden of this corruptible body for the welfare of my soul. For though this present life seems burdensome, yet by your grace it becomes meritorious, and it is made brighter and more endurable for the weak by your example and the pathways of the saints. But it has also more consolation than formerly under the old law, when the gates of heaven were closed, when the way thereto seemed darker than now, and when so few cared to seek the eternal kingdom. The just, the elect, could not enter heaven before your sufferings, and sacred death had paid the debt. Oh, what great thanks I owe you, who have shown me and all the faithful the good and right way to your everlasting kingdom. Your life is our way, and in your holy patience we come nearer to you who are our crown. Had you not gone before and taught us, who would have cared to follow? Alas, how many would have remained far behind, had they not before their eyes your holy example. Behold, even we who have heard of your many miracles and teachings are still lukewarm. What would happen if we did not have such light, by which to follow you? The 19th chapter. True patience in suffering. The voice of Christ. What are you saying, my child? Think of my suffering and that of the saints, and cease complaining. You have not yet resisted to the shedding of blood. What you suffer is very little compared with the great things they suffered who were so strongly tempted, so severely troubled, so tried and tormented in many ways. Well may you remember, therefore, the very painful woes of others, that you may bear your own little ones the more easily. And if they do not seem so small to you, examine if perhaps your impatience is not the cause of their apparent greatness, and whether they are great or small, try to bear them all patiently. The better you dispose yourself to suffer, the more wisely you act and the greater is the reward promised you. Thus you will suffer more easily if your mind and habits are diligently trained to it. Do not say, I cannot bear this from such a man, nor should I suffer things of this kind, for he has done me a great wrong. He has accused me of many things of which I never thought. However, from someone else I will gladly suffer as much as I think I should. Such a thought is foolish, for it does not consider the virtue of patience or the one who will reward it, but rather weighs the person and the offense committed. The man, who will suffer only as much as seems good to him, who will accept suffering only from those from whom he is pleased to accept it, is not truly patient. for the truly patient man does not consider from whom the suffering comes, whether from a superior, an equal, or an inferior, whether from a good and holy person or from a perverse and unworthy one, but no matter how great an adversity befalls him, no matter how often it comes or from whom it comes, he accepts it gratefully from the hand of God, and counts it a great gain. For with God nothing that is suffered for his sake, no matter how small, can pass without reward. Be prepared for the fight, then, if you wish to gain the victory. Without struggle you cannot obtain the crown of patience, and if you refuse to suffer you are refusing the crown. But if you desire to be crowned, fight bravely and bear up patiently. Without labor there is no rest, and without fighting, no victory. The Disciple. O Lord, let that which seems naturally impossible to me become possible through your grace. You know that I can suffer very little, and that I am quickly discouraged when any small adversity arises. Let the torment of tribulation suffered for your name be pleasant and desirable to me, since to suffer and be troubled for your sake is very beneficial for my soul. The 20th chapter. Confessing our weakness in the miseries of life. The Disciple. I will bring witness against myself to my injustice, and to you, O Lord, I will confess my weakness. Often it is a small thing that makes me downcast and sad. I propose to act bravely, but when even a small temptation comes I find myself in great straits. Sometimes it is the merest trifle, which gives rise to grievous temptations. When I think myself somewhat safe and when I am not expecting it, I frequently find myself almost overcome by a slight wind. Look, therefore, Lord, at my littleness and frailty, which you know so well. Have mercy on me and snatch me out of the mire, that I may not be caught in it and may not remain forever utterly despondent. That I am so prone to fall, and so weak in resisting my passions oppresses me frequently and confounds me in your sight. While I do not fully consent to them, still their assault is very troublesome and grievous to me, and it worries me exceedingly thus, to live in daily strife. Yet from the fact that abominable fancies rush in upon me much more easily than they leave, my weakness becomes clear to me. Oh, that you, most mighty God of Israel, zealous lover of faithful souls, would consider the labor and sorrow of your servant, and assist him in all his undertakings. Strengthen me with heavenly courage lest the outer man, the miserable flesh, against which I shall be obliged to fight so long, as I draw a breath in this wretched life, and which is not yet subjected to the Spirit, prevail and dominate me. Alas! What sort of life is this, from which troubles and miseries are never absent, where all things are full of snares and enemies? For when one trouble or temptation leaves, another comes. Indeed, even while the first conflict is still raging, many others begin unexpectedly. How is it possible to love a life that has such great bitterness, that is subject to so many calamities and miseries? Indeed, how can it even be called life, when it begets so many deaths and plagues? And yet, it is loved, and many seek their delight in it. Many persons often blame the world for being false and vain, yet do not readily give it up, because the desires of the flesh have such great power. Some things draw them to love the world, others make them despise it. The lust of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, and the pride of life lead to love, while the pains and miseries, which are the just consequences of those things, beget hatred and weariness of the world. Vicious pleasure overcomes the soul that is given to the world. She thinks that there are delights beneath these thorns, because she has never seen or tasted the sweetness of God or the internal delight of virtue. They, on the other hand, who entirely despise the world and seek to live for God under the rule of holy discipline, are not ignorant of the divine sweetness promised to those who truly renounce the world. They see clearly how gravely the world errs, and in how many ways it deceives. The 21st chapter. Above all goods and all gifts we must rest in God. the disciple. Above all things and in all things, O my soul, rest always in God, for He is the everlasting rest of the saints. Grant, most sweet and loving Jesus, that I may seek my repose in You above every creature, above all health and beauty, above every honor and glory, every power and dignity, above all knowledge and cleverness, all riches and arts, all joy and gladness, above all fame and praise, all sweetness and consolation, above every hope and promise, every merit and desire, above all the gifts and favors that You can give or pour down upon me, above all the joy and exaltation that the mind can receive and feel, and finally, above the angels and archangels and all the heavenly host, above all things visible and invisible, and may I seek my repose in You above everything that is not You, my God. For You, O Lord my God, are above all things the best. You alone are most high, You alone most powerful. You alone are most sufficient and most satisfying, You alone most sweet and consoling. You alone are most beautiful and loving, You alone most noble and glorious above all things. In You is every perfection that has been or ever will be. Therefore, whatever You give me besides Yourself, whatever You reveal to me concerning Yourself, and whatever You promise, is too small and insufficient, when I do not see and fully enjoy You alone. For my heart cannot rest or be fully content until, rising above all gifts and every created thing, it rests in You. Who, O most beloved Spouse, Jesus Christ, most pure Lover, Lord of all creation, who shall give me the wings of true liberty, that I may fly to rest in You? When shall freedom be fully given me, to see how sweet You are, O Lord, my God? When shall I recollect myself entirely in You, so that because of Your love I may feel, not myself, but You alone above all sense and measure, in a manner known to none? But now I often lament and grieve over my unhappiness, for many evils befall me in this vale of miseries, often disturbing me, making me sad and overshadowing me, often hindering and distracting me, alluring and entangling me so that I neither have free access to You nor enjoy the sweet embraces, which are ever ready for blessed souls. Let my sighs and the manifold desolation here on earth move You. O Jesus, splendor of eternal glory, consolation of the pilgrim soul, with You my lips utter no sound and to You my silence speaks. How long will my Lord delay His coming? Let Him come to His poor servant and make him happy. Let Him put forth His hands and take this miserable creature from his anguish. Come, O come, for without You there will be no happy day or hour, because You are my happiness, and without You my table is empty. I am wretched, as it were imprisoned and weighted down with fetters, until You fill me with the light of Your presence, restore me to liberty, and show me a friendly countenance. Let others seek instead of You whatever they will, but nothing pleases me or will please me but You, my God, my hope, my everlasting salvation. I will not be silent, I will not cease praying until Your grace returns to me and You speak inwardly to me, saying, Behold, I am here. Lo, I have come to You, because You have called me. Your tears and the desire of Your soul, Your humility and contrition of heart have inclined me, and brought me to You. Lord, I have called You, and have desired You, and have been ready to spurn all things for Your sake. For You first spurred me on to seek You. May You be blessed, therefore, O Lord, for having shown this goodness to Your servant according to the multitude of Your mercies. What more is there for Your servant to say to You unless, with his iniquity and vileness always in mind, he humbles himself before You? Nothing among all the wonders of heaven and earth is like to You. Your works are exceedingly good, Your judgments true, and Your providence rules the whole universe. May You be praised and glorified, therefore, O wisdom of the Father. Let my lips and my soul and all created things unite to praise and bless You. The 22nd chapter. Remember the innumerable gifts of God. The disciple. Open my heart, O Lord, to your law and teach me to walk in the way of your commandments. Let me understand your will. Let me remember your blessings, all of them and each single one of them, with great reverence and care, so that henceforth I may return worthy thanks for them. I know that I am unable to give you thanks for even the least of your gifts. I am unworthy of the benefits you have given me, and when I consider your generosity my spirit faints away before its greatness. All that we have of soul and body, whatever we possess interiorly or exteriorly, by nature or by grace, are your gifts, and they proclaim your goodness and mercy, from which we have received all good things. If one receives more and another less, yet all are yours, and without you nothing can be received. He who receives greater things cannot glory in his own merit, or consider himself above others, or behave insolently toward those who receive less. He who attributes less to himself and is the more humble and devout in returning thanks is indeed the greater and the better, while he who considers himself lower than all men and judges himself to be the least worthy is the more fit to receive the greater blessing. He, on the other hand, who has received fewer gifts should not be sad or impatient or envious of the richer man. Instead, he should turn his mind to you and offer you the greatest praise, because you give so bountifully, so freely and willingly, without regard to persons. All things come from you, therefore, you are to be praised in all things. You know what is good for each of us, and why one should receive less, and another more is not for us to judge, but for you who have marked every man's merits. Therefore, O Lord God, I consider it a great blessing not to have many things which human judgment holds praiseworthy and glorious, for one who realizes his own poverty and vileness should not be sad or downcast at it, but rather consoled and happy because you, O God, have chosen the poor, the humble, and the despised in this world to be your friends and servants. The truth of this is witnessed by your apostles, whom you made princes over all the world. Yet they lived in this world without complaining, so humble and simple, so free from malice and deceit, that they were happy even to suffer reproach for your name, and to embrace with great affection that which the world abhors. A man who loves you and recognizes your benefits, therefore, should be gladdened by nothing so much as by your will, by the good pleasure of your eternal decree. With this he should be so contented and consoled that he would wish to be the least, as others wish to be the greatest, that he would be as peaceful and satisfied in the last place as in the first, and as willing to be despised, unknown and forgotten, as to be honored by others, and to have more fame than they. He should prefer your will and the love of your honor to all else, and it should comfort him more than all the benefits which have been, or will be, given him. The 23rd Chapter. For things which bring great peace. The voice of Christ. My child, I will teach you now the way of peace and true liberty. Seek, child, to do the will of others rather than your own. Always choose to have less rather than more. Look always for the last place, and seek to be beneath all others. Always wish and pray that the will of God be fully carried out in you. Behold, such will enter into the realm of peace and rest. The Disciple. O Lord, this brief discourse of yours contains much perfection. It is short in words but full of meaning and abounding in fruit. Certainly if I could only keep it faithfully, I should not be so easily disturbed. For as often as I find myself troubled and dejected, I find that I have departed from this teaching. But you who can do all things, and who always love what is for my soul's welfare, give me increase of grace, that I may keep your words and accomplish my salvation. A prayer against bad thoughts. O Lord my God, be not far from me. O my God, hasten to help me, for varied thoughts and great fears have risen up within me, afflicting my soul. How shall I escape them unharmed? How shall I dispel them? I will go before you, says the Lord, and will humble the great ones of earth. I will open the doors of the prison, and will reveal to you hidden secrets. Do as you say, Lord, and let all evil thoughts fly from your face. This is my hope and my only comfort, to fly to you in all tribulation, to confide in you, and to call on you from the depths of my heart, and to await patiently for your consolation. A prayer for enlightening the mind. Enlighten me, good Jesus, with the brightness of internal light, and take away all darkness from the habitation of my heart. Restrain my wandering thoughts and suppress the temptations which attack me so violently. Fight strongly for me, and vanquish these evil beasts, the alluring desires of the flesh, so that peace may come through your power and the fullness of your praise resound in the holy courts, which is a pure conscience. Command the winds and the tempests, say to the sea, be still, and to the north wind, do not blow, and there will be a great calm. Send forth your light and your truth, to shine on the earth, for I am as earth, empty and formless until you illumine me. Pour out your grace from above. Shower my heart with heavenly dew. Open the springs of devotion to water the earth, that it may produce the best of good fruits. Lift up my heart pressed down by the weight of sin, and direct all my desires to heavenly things, that having tasted the sweetness of supernal happiness, I may find no pleasure in thinking of earthly things. Snatch me up and deliver me from all the passing comfort of creatures, for no created thing can fully quiet and satisfy my desires. Join me to yourself in an inseparable bond of love, because you alone can satisfy him who loves you, and without you all things are worthless. The 24th chapter. Avoiding curious inquiry about the lives of others. The voice of Christ. My child, do not be curious. Do not trouble yourself with idle cares. What matters this or that to you? Follow me. What is it to you if a man is such and such, if another does or says this or that? You will not have to answer for others, but you will have to give an account of yourself. Why, then, do you meddle in their affairs? Behold, I know all men. I see everything that is done under the sun, and I know how matters stand with each, what is in his mind and what in his heart and the end to which his intention is directed. Commit all things to me, therefore, and keep yourself in good peace. Let him who is disturbed be as restless as he will. Whatever he has said or done will fall upon himself, for he cannot deceive me. Do not be anxious for the shadow of a great name, for the close friendship of many, or for the particular affection of men. These things cause distraction and cast great darkness about the heart. I would willingly speak my word and reveal my secrets to you, if you would watch diligently for my coming, and open your heart to me. Be prudent, then. Watch in prayer, and in all things humble yourself. The 25th chapter. The basis of firm peace of heart and true progress. The voice of Christ. My child, I have said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, do I give unto you. All men desire peace, but all do not care for the things that go to make true peace. My peace is with the humble and meek of heart, your peace will be in much patience. If you hear me and follow my voice, you will be able to enjoy much peace. The disciple. What, then, shall I do, Lord? The voice of Christ. Watch yourself in all things, in what you do and what you say. Direct your every intention toward pleasing me alone, and desire nothing outside of me. Do not be rash in judging the deeds and words of others, and do not entangle yourself in affairs that are not your own. Thus, it will come about that you will be disturbed little and seldom. Yet, never to experience any disturbance, or to suffer any hurt in heart or body does not belong to this present life, but rather to the state of eternal rest. Do not think, therefore, that you have found true peace, if you feel no depression, or that all is well because you suffer no opposition. Do not think that all is perfect, if everything happens just as you wish. And do not imagine yourself great or consider yourself especially beloved, if you are filled with great devotion and sweetness. For the true lover of virtue is not known by these things, nor do the progress and perfection of a man consist in them. The disciple. In what do they consist, Lord? The voice of Christ. They consist in offering yourself with all your heart to the divine will, not seeking what is yours either in small matters or great ones, either in temporal or eternal things, so that you will preserve equanimity and give thanks in both prosperity and adversity, seeing all things in their proper light. If you become so brave and long-suffering in hope, that you can prepare your heart to suffer still more even when all inward consolation is withdrawn, and if you do not justify yourself as, though you ought not be made to suffer such great things, but acknowledge me to be just in all my works, and praise my holy name, then you will walk in the true and right path of peace, then you may have sure hope of seeing my face again in joy. If you attain to complete contempt of self, then know that you will enjoy an abundance of peace, as much as is possible in this earthly life. The 26th chapter. The excellence of a free mind, gained through prayer rather than by study. The disciple. It is the mark of a perfect man, Lord, never to let his mind relax in attention to heavenly things, and to pass through many cares, as though he had none, not as an indolent man does, but having by the certain prerogative of a free mind no disorderly affection for any created being. Keep me, I beg you, most merciful God, from the cares of this life, lest I be too much entangled in them. Keep me from many necessities of the body, lest I be ensnared by pleasure. Keep me from all darkness of mind, lest I be broken by troubles and overcome. I do not ask deliverance from those things which worldly vanity desires so eagerly, but from those miseries which, by the common curse of humankind, oppress the soul of your servant in punishment, and keep him from entering into the liberty of spirit as often as he would. My God, sweetness beyond words, make bitter all the carnal comfort that draws me from love of the eternal, and lures me to its evil self by the sight of some delightful good in the present. Let it not overcome me, my God. Let not flesh and blood conquer me. Let not the world and its brief glory deceive me, nor the devil trip me by his craftiness. Give me courage to resist, patience to endure, and constancy to persevere. Give me the soothing unction of your spirit rather than all the consolations of the world, and in place of carnal love, infuse into me the love of your name. Behold, eating, drinking, clothing, and other necessities that sustain the body are burdensome to the fervent soul. Grant me the grace to use such comforts temperately and not to become entangled in too great a desire for them. It is not lawful to cast them aside completely, for nature must be sustained, but your holy law forbids us to demand superfluous things and things that are simply for pleasure, else the flesh would rebel against the spirit. In these matters, I beg, let your hand guide and direct me, so that I may not overstep the law in any way. The 27th chapter. Self-love is the greatest hindrance to the highest good. The voice of Christ. My child, you should give all for all, and in no way belong to yourself. You must know that self-love is more harmful to you than anything else in the world. In proportion to the love and affection you have for a thing, it will cling to you more or less. If your love is pure, simple, and well-ordered, you will not be a slave to anything. Do not covet what you may not have. Do not possess anything that can hinder you or rob you of freedom. It is strange that you do not commit yourself to me with your whole heart, together with all that you can desire or possess. Why are you consumed with foolish sorrow? Why are you wearied with unnecessary care? Be resigned to my will and you will suffer no loss. If you seek this or that, if you wish to be in this place or that place, to have more ease and pleasure, you will never rest or be free from care, for some defect is found in everything and everywhere someone will vex you. To obtain and multiply earthly goods, then, will not help you, but to despise them and root them out of your heart will aid. This, understand, is true not only of money and wealth, but also of ambition for honor and desire for empty praise, all of which will pass away with this world. The place matters little if the spirit of fervor is not there, nor will peace be lasting, if it is sought from the outside, if your heart has no true foundation, that is, if you are not founded in me. You may change, but you will not better yourself. For when occasion arises and is accepted, you will find that from which you fled and worse. A prayer for cleansing the heart and obtaining heavenly wisdom. Strengthen me by the grace of your Holy Spirit, O God. Give me the power to be strengthened inwardly, and to empty my heart of all vain care and anxiety, so that I may not be drawn away by many desires, whether for precious things or mean ones. Let me look upon everything as passing, and upon myself as soon to pass away with them, because there is nothing lasting under the sun, where all is vanity and affliction of spirit. How wise is he who thinks thus? Give me, Lord, heavenly wisdom to learn above all else to seek and find you, to enjoy and love you more than anything, and to consider other things as they are, as your wisdom has ordered them. Grant me prudence to avoid the flatterer, and to bear patiently with him who disagrees with me. For it is great wisdom not to be moved by the sound of words, nor to give ear to the wicked, flattering siren. Then, I shall walk safely in the way I have begun. The 28th chapter. Strength against slander. The voice of Christ. My child, do not take it to heart, if some people think badly of you and say unpleasant things about you. You ought to think worse things of yourself, and to believe that no one is weaker than yourself. Moreover, if you walk in the Spirit, you will pay little heed to fleeting words. It is no small prudence to remain silent in evil times, to turn inwardly to me, and not to be disturbed by human opinions. Do not let your peace depend on the words of men. Their thinking well or badly of you does not make you different from what you are. Where are true peace and glory? Are they not in me? He who neither cares to please men nor fears to displease them will enjoy great peace, for all unrest and distraction of the senses arise out of disorderly love and vain fear. The 29th chapter. How we must call upon and bless the Lord when trouble presses. The disciple. Blessed be your name forever, O Lord, who have willed that this temptation and trouble come upon me. I cannot escape it, yet I must fly to you, that you may help me and turn it to my good. Now I am troubled, Lord, and my heart is not at rest, for I am greatly afflicted by this present suffering. Beloved Father, what shall I say? I am straitened in harsh ways. Save me from the sorrow to which, however, I am come, that you may be glorified, when I am deeply humbled and freed by you. May it please you, then, to deliver me, Lord, for what can I, poor wretch that I am, do, or where can I go without you? Give me patience, Lord, even now. Help me, my God, and I will not be afraid however much I may be distressed. But here, in the midst of these troubles, what shall I say? Your will be done, Lord. I have richly deserved to be troubled and distressed. But I must bear it. Would that I could do so patiently, until the storm passes and calm returns. Yet your almighty hand can take this temptation from me, or lighten its attack, so that I do not altogether sink beneath it, as you, my God, my mercy, have very often done for me before. And the more difficult my plight, the easier for you is this change of the right hand of the Most High. The 30th chapter. The quest of divine help and confidence in regaining grace. The voice of Christ. My child, I am the Lord, who gives strength in the day of trouble. Come to me when all is not well with you. Your tardiness in turning to prayer is the greatest obstacle to heavenly consolation, for before you pray earnestly to me you first seek many comforts, and take pleasure in outward things. Thus, all things are of little profit to you until you realize that I am the one who saves those who trust in me, and that outside of me there is no worthwhile help, or any useful counsel or lasting remedy. But now, after the tempest, take courage, grow strong once more in the light of my mercies, for I am near, says the Lord, to restore all things not only to the full but with abundance and above measure. Is anything difficult for me? Or shall I be as one who promises and does not act? Where is your faith? Stand firm and persevere. Be a man of endurance and courage, and consolation will come to you in due time. Wait for me, wait, and I will come to heal you. It is only a temptation that troubles you, a vain fear that terrifies you. Of what use is anxiety about the future? Does it bring you anything but trouble upon trouble? Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. It is foolish and useless to be either grieved or happy about future things, which perhaps may never happen. But it is human to be deluded by such imaginations, and the sign of a weak soul to be led on by suggestions of the enemy. For he does not care whether he overcomes you by love of the present or fear of the future. Let not your heart be troubled, therefore, nor let it be afraid. Believe in me and trust in my mercy. When you think you are far from me, then often I am very near you. When you judge that almost all is lost, then very often you are in the way of gaining great merit. All is not lost when things go contrary to your wishes. You ought not judge according to present feelings, nor give in to any trouble whenever it comes, or take it as though all hope of escape were lost. And do not consider yourself forsaken if I send some temporary hardship, or withdraw the consolation you desire. For this is the way to the kingdom of heaven, and without doubt it is better for you and the rest of my servants to be tried in adversities than to have all things as you wish. I know your secret thoughts, and I know that it is profitable for your salvation to be left sometimes in despondency lest perhaps you be puffed up by success, and fancy yourself to be what you are not. What I have given, I can take away and restore when it pleases me. What I give remains mine, and thus when I take it away I take nothing that is yours, for every good gift and every perfect gift is mine. If I send you trouble and adversity, do not fret or let your heart be downcast. I can raise you quickly up again, and turn all your sorrow into joy. I am no less just and worthy of great praise when I deal with you in this way. If you think aright and view things in their true light, you should never be so dejected and saddened by adversity, but rather rejoice and give thanks, considering it a matter of special joy, that I afflict you with sorrow and do not spare you. As the Father hath loved me, so also I love you, I said to my disciples, and I certainly did not send them out to temporal joys but rather to great struggles, not to honors but to contempt, not to idleness, but to labors, not to rest but to bring forth much fruit in patience. Do you, my child, remember these words? The 31st chapter. To find the Creator, forsake all creatures. The Disciple. O Lord, I am in sore need still of greater grace, if I am to arrive at the point where no man and no created thing can be an obstacle to me. For as long as anything holds me back, I cannot freely fly to you. He that said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I might fly away and be at rest," desired to fly freely to you. Who is more at rest than he who aims at nothing but God? And who more free than the man who desires nothing on earth? It is well, then, to pass over all creation, perfectly to abandon self, and to see in ecstasy of mind that you, the Creator of all, have no likeness among all your creatures, and that unless a man be freed from all creatures, he cannot attend freely to the divine. The reason why so few contemplative persons are found is that so few know how to separate themselves entirely from what is transitory and created. For this, indeed, great grace is needed, grace that will raise the soul and lift it up above itself. Unless a man be elevated in spirit, free from all creatures, and completely united to God, all his knowledge and possessions are of little moment. He who considers anything great except the one, immense, eternal good will long be little and lie groveling on the earth. Whatever is not God is nothing and must be accounted as nothing. There is great difference between the wisdom of an enlightened and devout man and the learning of a well-read and brilliant scholar, for the knowledge which flows down from divine sources is much nobler than that laboriously acquired by human industry. Many there are who desire contemplation, but who do not care to do the things which contemplation requires. It is also a great obstacle to be satisfied with externals and sensible things, and to have so little of perfect mortification. I know not what it is, or by what spirit we are led, or to what we pretend, we who wish to be called spiritual, that we spend so much labor and even more anxiety on things that are transitory and mean, while we seldom or never advert with full consciousness to our interior concerns. Alas, after very little recollection we falter, not weighing our deeds by strict examination. We pay no attention to where our affections lie, nor do we deplore the fact that our actions are impure. Remember that because all flesh had corrupted its course, the great deluge followed. Since, then, our interior affection is corrupt, it must be that the action which follows from it, the index, as it were, of our lack of inward strength, is also corrupt. Out of a pure heart come the fruits of a good life. People are wont to ask how much a man has done, but they think little of the virtue with which he acts. They ask, is he strong? Rich? Handsome? A good writer? A good singer? Or a good worker? They say little, however, about how poor he is in spirit, how patient and meek, how devout and spiritual. Nature looks to his outward appearance, grace turns to his inward being. The one often errs, the other trusts in God and is not deceived. The 32nd chapter. Self-denial and the renunciation of evil appetites. The voice of Christ. My child, you can never be perfectly free, unless you completely renounce self, for all who seek their own interest, and who love themselves are bound in fetters. They are unsettled by covetousness and curiosity, always searching for ease and not for the things of Christ, often devising and framing that which will not last, for anything that is not of God will fail completely. Hold to the short and perfect advice, therefore, give up your desires and you will find rest. Think upon it in your heart, and when you have put it into practice you will understand all things. The disciple. But this, Lord, is not the work of one day, nor is it mere child's play. Indeed, in this brief sentence is included all the perfection of holy persons. The voice of Christ. My child, you should not turn away or be downcast when you hear the way of the perfect. Rather, you ought to be spurred on the more toward their sublime heights, or at least be moved to seek perfection. I would this were the case with you, that you had progressed to the point where you no longer loved self but simply awaited my bidding and his, whom I have placed as father over you. Then you would please me very much, and your whole life would pass in peace and joy. But you have yet many things which you must give up, and unless you resign them entirely to me you will not obtain that which you ask. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, fire tried, that thou mayest be made rich, rich in heavenly wisdom, which treads underfoot all that is low. Put aside earthly wisdom, all human self-complacency. I have said, exchange what is precious and valued among men for that which is considered contemptible. For true heavenly wisdom, not to think highly of self and not to seek glory on earth, does indeed seem mean and small and is well nigh forgotten, as many men praise it with their mouths, but shy far away from it in their lives. yet this heavenly wisdom is a pearl of great price, which is hidden from many. The 33rd chapter. Restlessness of soul, directing our final intention toward God. The voice of Christ. My child, do not trust in your present feeling, for it will soon give way to another. As long as you live, you will be subject to changeableness in spite of yourself. You will become merry at one time and sad at another, now peaceful but again disturbed, at one moment devout and the next in devout, sometimes diligent while at other times lazy, now grave and again flippant. But the man, who is wise, and whose spirit is well instructed, stands superior to these changes. He pays no attention to what he feels in himself or from what quarter the wind of fickleness blows, so long as the whole intention of his mind is conducive to his proper and desired end. For thus he can scan undivided, unchanged, and unshaken, with the singleness of his intention directed unwaveringly toward me, even in the midst of so many changing events. And the purer this singleness of intention is, with so much the more constancy does he pass through many storms. But in many ways the eye of pure intention grows dim, because it is attracted to any delightful thing that it meets. Indeed, it is rare to find one who is entirely free from all taint of self-seeking. The Jews of old, for example, came to Bethany to Martha and Mary, not for Jesus' sake alone, but in order to see Lazarus. The eye of your intention, therefore, must be cleansed so that it is single and right. It must be directed toward me, despite all the objects which may interfere. The 34th chapter. God is sweet above all things and in all things to those who love Him. The disciple. Behold, my God and my all. What more do I wish for? What greater happiness can I desire? O sweet and delicious word! But sweet only to him who loves it, and not to the world or the things that are in the world. My God and my all. These words are enough for him who understands, and for him who loves it is a joy to repeat them often. For when you are present, all things are delightful; when you are absent, all things become loathsome. It is you who give a heart tranquility, great peace and festive joy. It is you who make us think well of all things, and praise you in all things. Without you nothing can give pleasure for very long, for if it is to be pleasing and tasteful, your grace and the seasoning of your wisdom must be in it. What is there that can displease him whose happiness is in you? And, on the contrary, what can satisfy him whose delight is not in you? The wise men of the world, the men who lust for the flesh, are wanting in your wisdom, because in the world is found the utmost vanity, and in the flesh is death. But they who follow you by disdaining worldly things, and more time the flesh are known to be truly wise, for they are transported from vanity to truth, from flesh to spirit. By such as these God is relished, and whatever good is found in creatures they turn to praise of the Creator. But great, yes, very great, indeed, is the difference between delight in the Creator and in the creature, in eternity and in time, in light uncreated and in the light that is reflected. O light eternal, surpassing all created brightness, flash forth the lightning from above and enlighten the inmost recesses of my heart. Cleanse, cheer, enlighten, and vivify my spirit with all its powers, that it may cleave to you in ecstasies of joy. Oh, when will that happy and wished for hour come, that you may fill me with your presence, and become all in all to me? So long as this is not given me, my joy will not be complete. The old man, alas, yet lies within me. He has not yet been entirely crucified, he is not yet entirely dead. He still lusts strongly against the Spirit, and he will not leave the kingdom of my soul in peace. But you, who can command the power of the sea and calm the tumult of its waves, arise and help me. Scatter the nations that delight in war, crush them in your sight. Show forth, I beg, your wonderful works and let your right hand be glorified, because for me there is no other hope or refuge except in you, O Lord, my God. the 35th chapter. There is no security from temptation in this life. The voice of Christ. My child, in this life you are never safe, and as long as you live, the weapons of the Spirit will ever be necessary to you. You dwell among enemies. You are subject to attack from the right and the left. If, therefore, you do not guard yourself from every quarter with the shield of patience, you will not remain long unscathed. Moreover, if you do not steadily set your heart on me, with a firm will to suffer everything for my sake, you will not be able to bear the heat of this battle, or to win the crown of the blessed. You ought, therefore, to pass through all these things bravely, and to oppose a strong hand to whatever stands in your way. For to him who triumphs heavenly bread is given, while for him who is too lazy to fight there remains much misery. If you look for rest in this life, how will you attain to everlasting rest? Dispose yourself, then, not for much rest but for great patience. Seek true peace, not on earth but in heaven, not in men or in other creatures but in God alone. For love of God you should undergo all things cheerfully, all labors and sorrows, temptations and trials, anxieties, weaknesses, necessities, injuries, slanders, rebukes, humiliations, confusions, corrections, and contempt. For these are helps to virtue. These are the trials of Christ's recruit. These form the heavenly crown. For a little brief labor I will give an everlasting crown, and for passing confusion, glory that is eternal. Do you think that you will always have spiritual consolations as you desire? My saints did not always have them. Instead, they had many afflictions, temptations of various kinds, and great desolation. Yet they bore them all patiently. They placed their confidence in God rather than in themselves, knowing that the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to come. And you, do you wish to have at once that which others have scarcely obtained after many tears and great labors? Wait for the Lord, act bravely, and have courage. Do not lose trust. Do not turn back, but devote your body and soul constantly to God's glory. I will reward you most plentifully. I will be with you in every tribulation. The 36th chapter. The vain judgments of men. The voice of Christ. My child, trust firmly in the Lord, and do not fear the judgment of men, when conscience tells you that you are upright and innocent. For it is good and blessed to suffer such things, and they will not weigh heavily on the humble heart that trusts in God rather than in itself. Many men say many things, and therefore little faith is to be put in them. Likewise, it is impossible to satisfy all men. Although Paul tried to please all in the Lord, and became all things to all men, yet he made little of their opinions. He labored abundantly for the edification and salvation of others, as much as lay in him and as much as he could, but he could not escape being sometimes judged and despised by others. Therefore, he committed all to God who knows all things, and defended himself by his patience and humility against the tongues of those who spoke unjustly, or thought foolish things and lies, or made accusations against him. Sometimes, indeed, he did answer them, but only lest his silence scandalize the weak. Who are you, then, that you should be afraid of mortal man? Today he is here, tomorrow he is not seen. Fear God and you will not be afraid of the terrors of men. What can anyone do to you by word or injury? He hurts himself rather than you, and no matter who he may be, he cannot escape the judgment of God. Keep God before your eyes, therefore, and do not quarrel with peevish words. If it seems, then, that you are worsted and that you suffer undeserved shame, do not repine over it, and do not lessen your crown by impatience. Look instead to heaven, to me, who have power to deliver you from all disgrace and injury, and to render to everyone according to his works. The 37th chapter. Pure and entire resignation of self to obtain freedom of heart. the voice of Christ. My child, renounce self and you shall find me. Give up your own self-will, your possessions, and you shall always gain. For once you resign yourself irrevocably, greater grace will be given you. The disciple. How often, Lord, shall I resign myself? And in what shall I forsake myself? The voice of Christ. Always, at every hour, in small matters as well as great, I accept nothing. In all things I wish you to be stripped of self. How otherwise can you be mine or I yours, unless you be despoiled of your own will both inwardly and outwardly? The sooner you do this the better it will be for you, and the more fully and sincerely you do it the more you will please me and the greater gain you will merit. Some there are who resign themselves, but with certain reservation, they do not trust fully in God, and therefore they try to provide for themselves. Others, again, at first offer all, but afterward are assailed by temptation and return to what they have renounced, thereby making no progress in virtue. These will not reach the true liberty of a pure heart nor the grace of happy friendship with me, unless they first make a full resignation and a daily sacrifice of themselves. Without this no fruitful union lasts nor will last.